So let's talk a little bit about Mantle Cell, and you've got a 66-year-old man.
So this was a guy I met now about, when did I first meet him? 2005, and he presented with stage 4 Mantle Cell, as the vast majority of patients do. And he, at that time, we were doing R-CHOP. He had a complete remission and followed by autotransplant. And he had read a book. At that time, we were not doing maintenance rituximab, but he had read a book called, I think, The Patient from Hell or something like that. It was this patient who was a patient of, I think, Sandra Horning's or someone out in California, where he had read about rituximab and insisted that he get rituximab maintenance. And so this guy said, I really want rituximab maintenance. And we said, okay, it's not unreasonable. And now there's data from the French group presented at ASH this year that showed not only a PFS, but an overall survival benefit, which is really intriguing, because when you look at CHOP versus R-CHOP, there's not a huge difference, but clearly this study was very positive. So I think that that's now become our standard to give post-transplant rituximab.
And you give it for 2 years?
I think the study was 3 years.
So anything else going on in mantle cell that you want to talk about? And the maintenance thing is very interesting. I assume you're using it in the non-transplant situation, maintenance rituximab, or no?
Yes. So we do, because of the, you know, much shorter natural history of mantle cell compared to follicular, I have given it to patients who got BR, though I've had some people have to come off for various reasons. I think what's really exciting in mantle cell is CAR T cells, you know, so that those studies are just getting on board. I think ibrutinib is a good drug. It doesn't, you know, I have a few people who have had quite durable remissions to ibrutinib when people have a complete remission. I'd love to see acalabrutinib in that setting, because mantle cell is, again, a disease of older patients. And I've got a poor guy who just had to cancel for his appointment for tomorrow because he's been hospitalized up in Maine with recurrent atrial fibrillation on ibrutinib.
Wow.
And I think it's going to be a problem. So, you know, I think some of those combination studies with ibrutinib, there's a study that Peter Martin at Cornell did combining ibrutinib and palbociclib. You know, palbociclib we had studied a long time ago as a pilot study in mantle cell and proved that it actually hit the target. And it's a cytostatic drug in mantle cell, but I think the combination approach is very exciting.
Another thing I'm curious about in terms of mantle cell, I'm starting to hear like whiffs of venetoclax.
Yes, yes, it's very active. And in fact, Andy Zelenets, who runs the NCCN lymphoma panel, who's incredibly smart, you know, I think he has quite a bit of experience. And now that they've published the sort of pan-NHL study, it's like 75%. So I think it is a good drug, and it's a very attractive drug in people who don't tolerate ibrutinib, just like CLL. So I'm hoping to see some more studies.